welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney. We have James the Fat Man Stevens. Hello. And Ryan Corpus Delecti Breasted. And so trying to
God
figure
out. Damn, we got to get better nicknames.
Trying to figure out what we were going to talk about today.
Well, we all knew you liked Black Glove. I mean, we could bring that back at any point. I mean, you have been a bad boy.
Oh, God.
So I got a question for you guys. So actually last month, I was actually going to bring this up last month, but we got on different tangents. What would you guys think about the first ever luxury hotel in space?
Sounds like a sci-fi movie gone wrong.
That's definitely one of those things I want to try a few years after they've sort of got that process down.
What the
fuck is the point of going to space for tourism if you can't, you know, kind of roll out to like the International Space Station
or some five-star
equivalent thereof?
A 12-day thing where you're up in space and they have accommodations, blah blah blah. The thing about it is this is actually projected for 2021. The thing is that each person is billed, guess how much?
$800,000.
Okay, Brian?
That's a pretty damn good guess. Let me go with, at least half a mil, at least.
$9.5 million.
Well, that makes more sense, I suppose.
How much of that is liability coverage?
Probably a lot, but it also includes the training, because they're going to train you how, you know, to withstand the G's of going up, how to move around, blah, 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 and obviously the food and everything else.
So a lot of trips on the vomit comet.
Yeah.
Ten to one, they're going to be asking for a discount once they read the sign here for all of the things that make you exactly there you go. There's the one I was looking for.
it's a giant NDA, and just in case you die, your family releases all the liability just in case somehow your eyes get sucked out of your asshole.
Well, best time to go up there because you get to see Hawaii on fire. I mean, I think it'd be cool to see volcanoes going off up there.
I think it would be fun, but I'm with Ryan. I would rather wait, you know, once all the kinks are gone through, and, you know, the old guy who decided blow himself out an airlock.
Wait a second, though. Didn't you said 2021? There's no way that's fucking viable for another 10 years. No fucking way.
Well, the International Space Station has been around forever, so in theory they could do it. The biggest problem right now they have is nobody but Russia has the ability to get there. I mean, I guess you could use SpaceX. Well,
that's the thing. I mean, you know, hold on a sec. We have the technology. We just don't necessarily have the desire to build space shuttles again. We retired the shuttle program.
The shuttle program, though, I actually kind of agree with the reason why. They were just expensive upkeep, and everybody who knew how to work on it fucking retired.
Died.
Right.
That's one of the reasons Trump originally said something about want to go to the moon, which is all for. It's like, let's go back to the moon, let's focus on that. Then I think he just recently canceled it.
Yeah. Well, you know the reason that we never went back to the moon, right?
Aliens?
I was just going to fucking say that as a joke, but we've been there. We've kind of done that. We realized there's nothing fucking there and there's no reason to go back.
See, my favorite reason to go back is they said going from Earth to Mars is really hard just because the way the things work in the atmosphere. They said if you build a station on Mars, if you go from the moon, going from the moon to Mars is easier because there's no atmosphere. So you're burning less fuel and it's faster. That's why I wanted to do it.
Working in space and trying to do those things from there is logistically a fucking nightmare. You have to worry about working in the craziest conditions. Unless they can do it with drones and things like that, autonomous fucking beings that set those sorts of things up, but we're not anywhere close to that kind of stuff.
But the problem is Mars doesn't really have an atmosphere we can breathe either. So it might be the best chance to actually, like, that couldn't go wrong. Like, that would be the best chance to actually try to get this technology working is by doing on the moon. Because if it works on the moon, it's got to work on Mars, at least to some degree.
Yeah, well, I think the first people that are going to be going to Mars is going to be a one-way trip, and it's going to be a
death row inmate
deal.
Oh, dude, it's basically suicide. I don't see anybody.
I mean, that's how we populated Australia.
Suicide?
No, death row inmates.
Ah, I don't know. I just see it going wrong. I mean, unless, like, you know, when we're all shriveled old men and they finally do it once the technology's there, because even now, it's still basically lighting a firecracker under a tin can, making it go up. I mean, there's not that much difference.
Well, here's the thing. Either I get what you're saying about maybe trying out the technology on the moon and seeing if that sort of, you know, proof of concept works. Maybe if something goes wrong, it's obviously a lot easier to get back to Earth. Or
well, my thought,
but
was,
it's not like we'd
have
be
you
able
seen gravity.
Well, my thought was especially like the habitats and stuff. Like, do it there. Like, how do you build it there?
Why,
is it going to be
talking about like the one that Matt Damon just? Well, did? But that's everything where you grow.
Well,
potatoes from
no,
shit?
No, like, because the biggest problem if you go to Mars is where are they going to live? Where are they going to take off their spacesuit? So my thought was...
Yeah, but Churney, you're missing
Churney?
One major point, though.
Churney?
What's that?
Yeah, I called him Churney. You can just put everybody in a vacuum here on Earth.
Wait, you mean like the one from Spaceballs?
The biggest issue with that, though, is there's gravity here. So if you do it, even if it's something that say that's a habitat that gets launched there and lands, there's still some stuff you won't be able to figure out.
Such as?
But okay, we know.
Physicist here, John. Let's, come on.
Like how it works within an alien and, you know, an alien environment.
Yeah. Well, here's my point is alien environment. There's nothing there. It's desolate.
there's
but
a face.
Obviously.
Well, there's
none of us are scientists, so none of us can sit here and.
Neither is Bill. Nye.
I guarantee you they can figure out a way to fucking figure these things out on Earth.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, but my thought was, you know, there's on the moon at least, there's dust, there's an extreme environment. You're right. I mean, they could test everything on Earth. I just think it would be a cooler test to do it on the moon. But I'm really for anything. I think going to Mars is crazy. Especially right now when there's no way to come back once your dumbass lands. Because like, well, take the moon, for example. They had enough. They cleared the Earth's atmosphere. The moon doesn't really have a whole lot of atmosphere, if any. So there wasn't a lot of power and thrust needed to take off.
Yeah.
But once you reach Mars, how are you going to carry enough fuel to actually take off? With today's technology, that would be really hard. That would be extremely heavy unless you found a way to go to the moon or another way to dock somewhere.
It's
just recycle.
It's
all
not
the
about
in a
it's
fuel.
Not about first of all, you park something in low Earth orbit.
Well, yeah,
you know what I mean? Or
the moon,
you know,
or orbit,
so you,
that's like
so
a
you
dock.
Have like a yeah, so you orbit something that is like your refueling station. Like you first send up your fuel and some extra tanks, and then you go dock with that shit, and then you take off like they've done in 100 movies. But it's not about having enough fuel to get there. It's about gaining enough speed to get there. Because obviously once you gain enough speed, you're going to continue with that at that pace.
Well,
you don't need the fuel.
My first thought was actually taking off from the planet's surface itself. Because you're right.
Mars,
once you hit the right velocity, you're going to keep going unless you hit something. But how do you take off from the planet's surface? That, to me, was the biggest problem.
They've done it a lot.
Now I haven't heard of anything taking off from the Mars surface lately. I know, I think they did it in the '70s, but is there anything
that I've heard of?
No, you're talking about taking off from the Mars.
Yeah.
The surface
yeah, yeah
Mars?
Like,
home.
Like for
That's
example,
what we've been talking about for the past 5 minutes.
If you want to do something like you take people to Mars and then bring them back, the biggest problem is the fuel there going back and forth.
Well, they're not planning on bringing anybody back. That's not the idea.
Yeah, they're already actually, you know, they're actually putting together a program for people
yes.
to
well,
populate
they have,
Mars.
They have been for
and
like
yeah,
a
they're
decade.
But they're actually starting to recruit young kids now.
my favorite...
There's a whole program with a young astronauts program where they're trying to put together the actual
this
going
one,
and populating Mars.
This movie's not going to have Kurt Russell in it, is it?
I sure hell's hope not.
Steve
Buscemi, maybe.
My favorite actually mode of transportation I've seen so far that they want to do for planet to planet is they want to use like a solar sail and atomic bombs.
Oh yeah, I haven't heard about the atomic bombs, I've heard about the solar sails.
The atomic bomb would be perfect, because what else do you really use it for? It's so destructive on Earth, but there's so much radiation in the solar system that if you launch a nuke at a certain distance, it explodes, it would push the sail.
Possibly.
Yeah, but you'd have to, wouldn't that be just, you know, like a 360 degree blast?
I thought you could. Can't you do a directional explosive if you do it right? I mean, I'm guessing. I don't know if you can do that with a
time.
Space, I don't know how that would actually work. I mean, we'd have to bring on Neil deGrasse Tyson to get there. I mean,
something tells me you cannot turn a nuke into a shaped charge.
But I'm wondering if the concussive blast, if you're already pointed in a specific direction, if it explodes in, like you said, a 360 circumference, it would actually push you in the direction you want to go.
It'd be like a fan with a toy boat. I mean, it would push it.
But I don't know. I mean, we don't really understand the logistics of space enough to understand if there's going to be a concussive blast that would actually push.
Well, that's, I think you could do it, but yeah. I mean,
kind of putting it out there. I mean, we don't
like
know.
Like solar that. Wind. I think like, that's
wait, hold on. Are we just speculating nuclear fucking bombs, or did you actually like see this somewhere?
No, I've heard about it off and on most of my life.
I don't know. You're talking to the guy over here. I've heard about it off and on.
It's been in popular science fiction. It's been stuff people actually have talked about. I mean, it's been in TV shows, like scientific TV shows, where I've actually heard people talk about it, because they're trying to think, what do you do with nuclear weapons because they're so destructive? How can you better mankind with it?
I mean, was this in what's his freaking Scientology's name? Hubbard's scientific book?
No, I've actually never read anything by him. But no, this is stuff I've heard off and on for years. I mean, it's one of those things that people discuss to see if it.
That sounds like one of those things that have been bullshit for years. I don't see how that's a.
Are you calling bullshit here?
I mean,
man?
I could be wrong. I'm calling bullshit. I'm not a physicist or fucking anything close to that. But
I still think it would work. I just think it would have to be something they would have to figure out how.
Well, I mean, first of all, what are you basing that on?
It would work?
And just see what it does.
Because I think it would work because there's so much force that's released when you explode a nuclear bomb that the question is, how do you get it to push?
That's what
the
I'm
device.
Confused about. I mean, like,
yeah,
I'm wondering,
but you know,
like,
you know
there,
how.
I mean,
you know how fast a blast wave moves, right? Like you're not going to be able to capture that like wind.
But hold on. The thing that I'm saying though is the blast wave that we know of here. I mean, that's actually pushing an atmosphere around.
Well, they've actually exploded them in space.
Space, but I'm just saying, is there enough? Is there enough of?
I mean, how's the radiation?
Of,
how's it?
Yeah,
expo-
I mean,
how's,
is it,
how does
is
it disperse?
What is it pushing? Yeah, what is it exactly pushing? Is it pushing? Some type of atmosphere?
Well,
I mean,
it's
you're bringing
not,
up the solar waves, but do we have
not,
the technology to capture one and move momentum?
Well, you would need, that's why the solar sail, you'd have to figure out how to get that, to be real. You'd have to find the technology that would work.
It's still a force. It doesn't have to have anything to push again. As a matter of fact, it would be sort of unimpeded in its power. But it would still definitely have the force just extending from the point of origin. You know, so you do have this blast wave that'll go out. Because first, you know, like if you've ever seen a nuclear bomb go off, like the videos and whatnot from the 50s and shit, you see the shock wave, then you see what's being pushed out, you know, from the center.
So you're saying
so you're still going to have a shock wave, and you're still going to have that force from the center.
The biggest problem is capturing that force.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that's
what
the thing
can we
is
capture it with, and is it a force that we have the technology to capture to begin with?
I know, like solar sails have been around in popular fiction forever. Solar sails, excuse me. I think the question is, how do you make it? What material? That's why, you know, I think it would be cool, but I just don't think at the moment it's viable.
The reason that solar sails have been talked about is because it's viable to use a solar sail without having some other force that we bring with us, such as a bomb. You know, like they work on their own. There's solar winds that will push
Well, it depends.
And I'm sure I'm misremembering some details here.
Well, no, you're right, but that depends on how far we're talking about. It might work to Mars, but you know, maybe it would give it a boost. The biggest question, if you really want to go way out there, is what are we doing once we get out of our solar system?
Well,
they discovered with Voyager, once you get a certain distance, that solar wind is no longer there.
But it's all about gaining speed. Just the velocity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you have force applied, you know what I mean? So like it's why you can get up and walk around an airplane after it gets to its speed. It just stays there, and you're just coasting at that speed. Actually, the point I just made had nothing to do with the point I'm making.
You're making a point?
He was trying.
Well, I'm going to actually cycle back to the dumbass bomb theory, because the energy transfer is going to be very quick and very – it's going to be over quickly. You know what I mean? The reason that wind works in a sail is because it keeps blowing. You know what I mean? If it's just one big gust of wind, you catch that one big gust of wind and it doesn't even do anything.
Yeah,
it doesn't have the time to affect what it's moving.
But but as you said, that's all you might need to get up to velocity.
First of all, if you move somebody too fast, you're going to suck the brain out of the back of their skull. So you have to move them over a gradual period of time.
Well, what was it? What was the...
That's an interesting point you brought up.
Was it Event Horizon? No,
well, it was
Supernova.
The reason that actually getting caught by Superman or being pushed away by the Flash would actually suck in real life.
There was a movie... I think it was Supernova or Event Horizon. There's one of these sci-fi movies that turned out their way of figuring that out was putting you in some sort of tank. And I don't remember if it was tank, it was liquid, it was some way to actually help.
I think that was Event Horizon.
It was the way to help your body be able to take the force because it would liquefy you on, you know, as soon as you hit the button, it would kill you. So that was the way, if I remember correctly, they came up in the sci-fi movie to you be able to counter it was some sort of viscous fluid or some sort of fluid.
Yeah, but you're still. It's not about.
That's an interesting point.
It's not. It's your internal organs. It's your brain inside your skull.
Well, that's what
you know
he's
what
saying,
I mean.
You can soften. But if you put yourself in some type of gel material that can take some of the impact off of you and cushion you enough.
Yeah, because your goal is to limit the force on your body. So if you found a way to counteract that force enough, it would probably be safer.
But how many G's would...
Yeah, but there's no way. You'd have to have a ship. You'd have to have a ship that's so long that you would move from one end to the other.
It's more like
Spaceballs times a billion.
Well, I mean, what the hell do we know? I mean, we're kind of guessing that anyways. I I did want to bring back to something we talked about, on episode one, about movie theaters going away. I've been kind of thinking about this. I don't think movie theaters will go away, but I do think it's going to happen, and I do think it's happening now, is it becomes more of a niche experience. Like the dining movie theater,
yeah.
Getting the fancy seats.
That type of thing.
I also think the theaters, you may see a reduction in the amount of theaters. You know, instead of... Because I have access to 3 or 4 theaters within 50 miles, if not more. So
that's nothing compared to what they have in Southern California.
Oh, yeah. Like that's why I'm thinking
30 theaters in 15 miles.
I could see in SoCal. I can see in SoCal not a lot of those, but a good portion of those dying off. And so it becomes more, it's like going to the play.
Here's all I know is I know that every fucking single weekend my local theater is packed.
Well, yeah. I mean, but the other thing about it is I'm a home theater geek and it's kind of a pain in the ass. So the question is when it becomes, instead of running wires and when it comes more a wireless experience, because right now I have to run a bunch of wires, I have to do a bunch of connections. It's simple stuff to me, but you know, I know people who don't know how to turn on a computer that would have issues with it.
Well,
so
putting together a 5-point or 7-point theater system?
Because some people have issues with that. So the question is, once they simplify that experience, because you get near theater quality. I mean, it's really 8 and 10K in a theater. But with 4K, I think the biggest reason they're going to stay around is you're still missing the community experience of going to the theater. You're missing the popcorn. You're missing the excitement of it.
Excitement?
Right.
Because one of the reasons about watching movies at home suck is all your shit's there. So if you're cooking a pot roast, your kid acts up, something happens, you got to answer an email, you have to pause it. Versus in a movie, unless it's an emergency, I've never answered my phone.
I haven't either.
Well, you can definitely, you know, not do that at home. You don't have to get up and fucking cook dinner, you know, while you're watching a movie.
I don't think it's that easy, though.
I mean, pizza.
Well, one of the reasons I don't think it's that easy is because it's not something you normally would do. You'd actually have to make it a practice when you're doing it. Versus in the theater, the barrier to entry is the reason why you don't do it. Because it's a physical cost.
That's what we were talking about also, is that the idea of you know, streaming something versus actually paying specifically to see that, it grabs your attention more. You're more invested in wanting to appreciate the movie and the experience. You know, like when I started just renting shit on Amazon on my fucking 4K TV at home, I'll still go to the movies. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to go see Infinity War tomorrow. But I might rent a movie for $3 or $4 on Amazon Prime and just watch it here at home. But just the fact that I actually spent money on it, I'm going to stay awake for the movie. I'm going to actually want to enjoy it. I'm going to maybe be a little more discerning about what I'm picking. I'll want to watch something that I haven't seen before.
So why would
I used to do when I was renting movies at Blockbuster.
See, you weren't discerning when you were in Blockbuster. You were going from, okay, I haven't seen this one. Oh, this looks horrible.
Well,
okay,
not necessarily. No, I mean, I'd sit there for fucking 45 minutes reading the backs of boxes.
That's
you know,
what
like,
I
oh,
did.
Okay, what's this movie about?
I wouldn't do that. I mean, I literally read the back of the box of Redneck Zombies, and I still chose it.
Yeah, well, pretty much. I'm like, you know, I'd skim it. Okay, this looks good. Okay, this skim it. This looks good. You know,
how do you think I found the one? What was that?
That's why I watched a lot of trauma movies. Was this looks incredibly stupid? But why not?
There's a Jack Nicholson one that I remember that I picked up. We did it for the show at one point, I think.
I still think the movie theaters are going to go away. I don't think they're going to disappear. I do think eventually they're going to be kind of like going to see a play type of thing. I think it's going to be...
I doubt it. Because what are they going to replace it with? People staying at home? I'm not inviting a bunch of people over to my fucking house to go watch a movie.
Yeah, I'm not into that either. I mean, I do know people that do that, and I'm still like, eh.
I only go to the theater with my wife. I mean, you going to the movies with six friends?
No, I mean, I'm just saying if I'm going to go meet up with a couple of friends at a movie, you know, I'm going to go. And Mike, there's a drive-in theater that's maybe about 10 miles from me here. That place is packed all the fucking time.
How many are still in Los Angeles, do you know? Or near your area?
Drive-in theaters? I only know two.
Because there's one near us, and
that's like in all of Northern California. It's the only one I know of.
And it's sketchy as hell.
Well, yeah.
Oh, no. All drive-in theaters are sketchy as hell, sir. It's the place where you go when you want to smoke and drink. Sit in your car and
the area it's in is sketchy. Your girlfriend. The area it's in is sketchy as hell. I'd never like going there during
the daytime.
Oh,
that's usually where they keep them.
I don't know. I could just see it going away. Maybe not. I mean, because what's also happening now is with the television industry, because cable's so expensive, people are opting to, instead of spending the $80 to $90 or $300 for a cable package or DirecTV or Dish, people are, you know, $20 for Netflix, $100 and something with Amazon Prime, but they already buy stuff off Prime anyways. So you're still cheaper. All it costs you, the barrier entry, is internet connection. So I think everything's going to go up
in the
air.
The monthly subscriptions, services and whatnot, especially when they're just nailing it on the original programming lately. Like I was trying to talk James into the fucking Amazon Prime show I started watching a weeks ago called Patriot.
But I heard something about it on
fucking some other podcast I was listening to. I heard somebody talk about it, and I just was like, all right, I'll check it out, because I kept thinking of the, you know, crappy Mel Gibson movie. But
crappy Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah, the Patriot with
yes, I know. I didn't think it was that crappy.
Yeah. It actually is pretty crappy. Watch it again.
I've seen it like.
It's pretty crappy.
It's bad, but it's not like crappy. I just, you know, it's a Mel Gibson movie. I would say most of his movies are bad.
Really?
He doesn't have a lot of good movies.
Braveheart is a goddamn amazing movie.
Yeah, and Payback is freaking fantastic.
He didn't direct The Patriot, though. I didn't think he did.
I don't remember. Did he?
Take a look, because most of the movies he directed are good, but I'm saying the movies he's been in, a lot of them aren't good. Because, like...
Wow, a lot of them are pretty fucking great.
Look up... I don't.
I'm looking at The Patriot.
Because I didn't think he directed The Patriot.
I don't remember.
Because I would be really surprised.
No, he didn't direct The Patriot. No, that was
it's probably
like,
a Scorsese
like
piece of shit.
Columbus or something like that.
Shut up. It's Scorsese.
Because, you know, because if you look like...
Ronald Emmerich.
Apocalypto, you talk about...
Who the hell is this guy?
The one you just mentioned.
Oh, shit. He did The Independence Day and Godzilla, the 98 one.
Yep, that explains
and
a lot.
The Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, well, that explains that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this guy's so got a shitty record.
Almost all of Mel Gibson movies he's directed
are
amazing.
Holy shit, dude. He's going to put out The Independence Day 3? And there's a third one?
I mean, like, Mel Gibson has one of the biggest, almost singly funded movie of all time, which is Passion of the Christ. And he... I'm curious to see how that works.
That was an old record, sir.
But he paid for it almost himself. How many people direct movies and almost pocket the whole thing
out of pocket? That explains a lot.
That's what I'm wondering.
I actually wanted to like that movie.
Ryan?
Yeah, and then, I mean, yeah, I think he made his money back on that one.
Shit.
Oh, no, he did. Matter of fact, he's actually releasing a sequel, which I'm kind of excited about.
Wow.
Who's going to be making it?
First one was fucking torture
porn. That makes a lot of sense.
Fucking nonsense.
Ah, it was a great movie, but I think you have to be somewhat religious to like it.
No, you would be required to be religious to like it.
I wouldn't say required, but I do think you'd have to
or
get a lot
sadist.
Of... I don't think you'd have to be required. Now, required is seeing a lot of Christian movies, like God Is Not Dead 2. You have to be religious. The first one was pretty good.
I will amend my thought. It would definitely help to be religious watching Passion of the Christ, but you're required to be religious for watching the Left Behind series.
Which version?
wait. They did like a actual series other than the books?
Yeah. Okay, so there's been two movies, believe it or not. There's been one with the guy from Growing Pains.
There was three.
Well, there's like two different actors. There's been one with the guy from...
Nick Cage was in the recent one.
Yeah. There's been two different actors have done it. I haven't
seen Nick Cage pick this up?
Yeah. I haven't seen the Nick Cage one, but the last one with I can never remember.
Is it like National Treasure for him? I mean, is it
God, what's his name? That fucking kid's name?
His last name's Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
That's it. Because his sister's Candace Cameron Burr.
Right.
The chick from Full House. She played DJ.
I mean that just ruins everything once you say Nick Cage. I mean
see, that's why he should have been Superman. Just kill the franchise permanently. I'd be happy with
that. Well, there's pictures of him in Superman.
Actually, I'm gonna actually back up my original thought as the non-religious one here. That fucking movie was kind of hilarious.
Which one? What? Passions of the Christ? Or
No.
I mean, it's like, how far back up do you want to go?
No, the Left Behind series. Yeah, the one with Nick Cage. Just like, wow. Wow, this is a movie.
There was another one that was a series.
So he's coming up with that. I wanted to ask you, have you played I bought Assassin's Creed Origins a couple of weeks ago, and this is the first Assassin's Creed game that I purposely have been avoiding the story so I could just walk around and screw off. How did you like it?
I really enjoyed it. I thought the idea of doing it in ancient Egypt, well, not quite ancient Egypt, because it's sort of the Cleopatra era. You know, the Ptolemaic dynasty. It's actually the last dynasty of Egypt, of like that kind of Egypt, you know what I mean? And I fucking thought it was a brilliant idea to do it in that time setting. It was so much fun rolling around that place.
I love the hallucinations.
It strikes you as kind of odd. Dude, I mean, there's a lot about that shit that I like. Yeah, the hallucinations are great.
I got killed by
hallucinations. But the idea...
They attack
it
you.
Strikes me as right. It struck me as a bit odd in the beginning because I'm looking at a lot of desert and I'm thinking, okay, well, there's not exactly a whole lot of buildings to jump around on here. But really, even just riding through the desert and you know, running across just random things. It's a whole lot of like, oh, what's that over there? Oh, what's that over there? Oh, what's that off in the distance?
So,
you know?
Hold on. I got a question here. So most of the Assassin's Creed's have kind of had ties into the Illuminati. Does this still stick with that, or do we switch over to the Masons?
Well, this actually goes what I was talking about.
No. Like, it's
wait, hold on, just one second.
It's not Illuminati. It's never been Illuminati or the Masons. It's a lot of tie-ins. You're having a lot of like sort of amalgamations of these secret societies.
Okay.
And it's you're the Assassins versus the Knights Templar. You know, and they turn out to be corporations in the future.
And it's kind of disjointed because they don't really tell you any. This is spoiler alert, by the way. They don't really tell you a whole lot. Like the other games, they tell you, "Hey, we're the good guys." And I think there's another one where you're playing "quote unquote" the bad guys. They don't really give you a lot of information at the first.
But that's the thing is that it's never really been, "Hey, we're the good guys, we're the bad guys." It's all kind of bad guy versus bad guy.
Well, in the first,
you know,
it's sort of
Cortez versus the Machica. Is you can't really say that either of them were good.
Well, no, I actually agree, but I'm saying, like, if you go from the thing of the Assassins, the other people are the bad guys. You know, that's what they show in Assassin's Creed 2 and 3.
Well, yeah, because you're playing the role of a protagonist, which, you know, you're seeing it through their eyes.
And this one, it doesn't really give you a whole lot of information that I've seen about them, which is the first game I've played of them where you don't have to spend a lot of time in the real world.
This is a prequel.
Yeah.
You know? So,
it's telling you the story in this.
Yeah. Well, that's my point, is it's really a prequel to the Assassin's Guild.
Yeah, good point.
Well, it's because it looks like
the origin story, you know, it's Batman before he's Batman.
Whatever that platform is, I can never remember.
Ubisoft?
The device that takes you back
in
your memories.
No, he's talking about the Animus.
The Animus.
That's it, yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like a version one of that. You know, so,
well, not necessarily. The narrative that they're playing in modern times actually takes place after all of the other ones do.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't think it did.
It's because you skip all the damn stuff.
Yeah, no, it did.
Well,
your circumstances. And there's a little bit. You can actually cycle back and forth if you want to. You can at a certain point after like the initial intro of the game, you can actually go to your other person. Yeah, anytime you want, but the narrative is basically you're kind of doing it off the grid.
Yeah, because I've explored a little bit, but it wasn't sure how far away from the cave you can go.
Well, anybody who hasn't played the Assassin's Creed by now, I you know,
spoiler alert.
I doubt they're going to be jumping into. Yeah, spoiler alert. It's been out for a long time.
They all die.
You know, you should have played this shit earlier.
Dude,
everybody dies. No, but the Animus was always in Abstergo, which was the Templars.
Yeah.
It's always been in their possession. You know, so nowadays it's the Assassins who actually got a hold of one, and they're able to do this shit on their own. And these two people, the person that you are and your little assistant person, are sort of kind of absconding with all of this gear and going to do it on your own, you know.
I've been enjoying it. I didn't really enjoy Black Flag. I hated the one at the Revolutionary War because I wanted the main character.
How dare you?
How dare you
not enjoy Black Flag?
I hated the ship mechanic. Like the one person in the world who hated the ship mechanic.
Are you fucking kidding? The ship mechanic?
No,
what
I hated
the
it.
Fuck else do you have to compare it to?
How many times are you gonna guys argue about this? I mean, every time he says something about Black Flag, you jump down his throat. I'm gonna make you walk the plank, you little bitch.
I hated the Revolutionary one because the main character I wanted to die the whole like couple of hours I was playing it because he was so fucking annoying. I actually stopped playing.
He was a very angry person.
I literally stopped playing because I really hated the character I was playing. It was so annoying.
I actually might have to play that one now. I've only played two.
Yeah, no, he was an angry, angry elf.
I like them.
He was an angry little man.
Call me elf one more time.
I did want to bring up another thing. I saw an interesting meme, and I thought it was kind of fitting in the world everybody says we're becoming.
You mean Mimi?
It was a picture of, you know, World War II, had a bunch of Nazis burning books. And then right below it was the YouTube, you know, logo of this video has been removed. And the text on the meme was saying sometimes censorship doesn't look like this, speaking about the World War II book banning. And I thought that was an interesting question, is what do you consider modern censorship? Now, YouTube, for example, has been known and still is, like, they'll delete gun videos. They'll demonetize them, which a lot of people make a career off of monetized videos on YouTube. So basically, if you make gun videos, you talk about this, you're being removed. So the question is, what do you consider modern censorship? A lot of people have been saying it's YouTube. You can, if you play in the world, you have to deal with their rules, which I don't actually disagree with. But what do you consider modern censorship? Facebook's been doing this with guns and other stuff. Reddit's been doing it a lot lately. So
here's the thing: is I don't agree with these companies' decisions to do these things. I really don't. I think that it's in a free market world. You know, they don't have to control a narrative. It's not incumbent upon them to do that. They have to create a platform for people to sort of find what they find.
I mean,
I've never really been a fan of the algorithms, but at the same time, what it comes down to is they're a private company. They can definitely do this.
They're a public company, aren't they? Because they have stocks.
Well, they're publicly traded, but that doesn't make
He's
them
saying
owned
it's privately
by the public.
Owned.
Yes,
is
I know.
Kind of
I'm being a smart ass.
I know.
I don't want you to hold on 1 second. I don't want anybody who's listening to this to take up the argument of the gun video. The only reason I'm taking that up, because that's the biggest example that I've noticed over the years.
Well, no, that is a very good example.
I just wanted to make sure.
No, but that's my point, though, is if people can want to watch gun videos, then they should be able to watch the content that these people provide. You know,
Hitchcock,
I get it.
Hitchcock's
if they. You know, there's a lot of them, and there's a lot of really fun ones, and I watch a few of them. Matter of fact, Demolition Ranch is a fucking great video channel. But if anybody ever watches them, especially if any anti-gun people watch them, that's what firearms have always been to me. Watch any Demolition Ranch video, and that's basically what it is.
I really love
it's basically just this guy who gets excited about fucking shooting targets and stuff.
Didn't he have something happen with his channel where he had to get a rename because YouTube removed him?
I think he's been kind of battling back and forth maybe a little bit as far as the demonetization or having to repost certain things. But again, it's a private company. If they want to do that, and now that it's known, it's kind of interesting how the public is going to really ultimately react versus how they're going to actually react. Are they going to backpedal this?
Well, the other thing
that's what I'm wondering.
The other thing that David Crowder is happening. He's a Canadian conservative who's happened to be an American. Now, he talks about it, and he's been fighting YouTube, but it's happened a lot. It seems like, and this, I'll be honest, I'm completely biased on this because this is the bias. You notice your bias more than anything else is it seems to happen to a lot of conservative stuff. David Crowder is a conservative comedian. I don't know what to call him because he kind of does a lot of stuff, but he's had a lot of gun videos and array stuff, so it seems to be a lot more conservative that seems to be pulled. Now, like YouTube, for example, some of their stuff is done by the vote of the community, which I think is annoying because they'll have a bunch of people report it and YouTube automatically deletes it. So you have to call YouTube and say, hey, this didn't violate your community standards. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think it's bullshit.
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of disgusting things about that just from like I'm a big believer in free speech on both sides. You know, if I don't agree with somebody's speech, I'll still defend it because that might be them defending me somewhere down the road.
It's
people don't understand that trying to censor somebody is really hurting their cause.
No, completely. I've always, there's two things I've always said is I'll defend your right to be an idiot. and I'll defend your right to do and say whatever you want. Hurt feelings does not give you the right to censor anything I say. I could be completely wrong. I could be completely right. As long as we can come somewhere in the middle and agree to disagree, I'm cool.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, the internet is the internet. You should be able to post or do whatever you want. If it upsets somebody else, just move on. Don't look at it. It's not that hard. I mean, there's so much crap on the internet.
You don't have a right not to be offended.
By the way, YouTube doesn't seem to care. Have you ever read any other comments on any of the female makeup videos?
I know.
Holy shit. I've seen stuff on, like, I'll look for bad comments. A lot of them are on the video of women. You get two comments.
God damn. You and my fucking girlfriend.
Well, because I'm fascinated.
Oh, she fucking...
Well, I'm fascinated by the comments. So, like, on women videos women put out, you see a lot of, hey, you're 60, hey, you're sexy, not 60, or hey, you effing cunt. I mean, you see a lot of that. So it's just amazing me.
I like how you censored fucking but not cunt.
Yeah, it just kind of came out that way. I'm trying to get some Australian, I'm trying to get some Australian viewers, since apparently they throw it around like water.
No, it's twat.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to start saying it a lot more than.
But I don't know, I just... YouTube doesn't seem to care because the comment system is borked because of all the horrendous crap.
Well, look, I don't like you guys have pointed out in the past. I fucking hate identifying with any fucking one thing because both sides just piss me off to no end. But I guess you can call it left leaning. If we were to talk about subject to subject, I would probably end up on the left of a few different things.
Compared
that
to James
said,
and
I don't.
You'd be in the center. You would still be in the left. So just to let you know, you just by the three of us.
We definitely disagree on certain things.
That's certain.
But that's the thing is, I hate whiny bitches on fucking both sides, and trust me, they're on both sides.
That's the reason I'm no longer a registered Republican.
Let's not pretend like the left has the market cornered on whiny little bitches.
Oh no, Tony, that's the sole reason I'm not.
That's an argument for a different day. But
that's the sole reason I'm no longer a Republican. I ditched them years ago because I was tired of them.
The point that I was going to make though is. Just because I might look at certain particular videos on Facebook, which I'm fucking basically off of Facebook now, or on YouTube or something, I don't want the algorithm to lean me that direction even harder. I want to be able to find different opinions and different viewpoints if I want to. I don't want my algorithms to say, oh, we're gonna create this feedback loop for Ryan. Where because we saw that he likes Stephen Colbert a little bit, so we're just going to fill his shit with nothing but shit like Stephen Colbert. What if I want to see some other things?
I would say
if I watch one fucking video about like WWE because I was feeling nostalgic about being 10 years old one day and liking The Rock, the next day I don't want to see everything fucking WWE related for the next 4 months.
So,
you know,
wait a minute, you were 10 years old when The Rock came out?
He's young, remember?
No, I was throwing numbers out.
Well, Facebook is a little easier to control the narrative because if what you want to do, if you really want to have a decent discussion and that's what you use it for, it's really easy to control whose videos you see or not by going close friend or acquaintance. So you actually can control the conversation.
First of all,
YouTube,
there's nobody that has good discussions on Facebook. That's a fucking myth.
I've had good discussions, but it's only with friends. Not on the groups, but actually with friends, I've had some good, as long as James wasn't involved. YouTube, on the other hand, they totally go by what you watch. Like, I've watched a lot of anime clips, so I'll get nothing but anime. Then if I watch some surgery videos and then some natural technology stuff, then I get a mismatch. It goes off of what you watch. But Facebook's a little easier to control. Reddit, however, is totally user-controlled because you just skip our politics and our this, and then, you know, it's a little easier.
But back to the old YouTube before the algorithms, I mean, the shit that you would come across in random videos, I mean, used to blow your mind. People came across some iconic things. Hey, look at this thing, this weird thing I found on YouTube, and it's like one of the most famous YouTube videos ever, you know? Now it's just, it's these things where they push things forward and they pull things back and...
What is the subscriber thing? You know, it's sad that they
feel like they need to make those choices.
So subscriber, the subscribers on YouTube is basically you subscribe to a channel. Like I subscribe to...
No, no, I mean like they actually have a paid YouTube thing now.
Yeah.
Is that Red?
That's Red.
Yeah.
I was tempted to get that thing just because of fucking Cobra Kai.
What I want to do is it's $40, but there's this TV thing. We can actually get all your local channels. They have it in Sacramento, which we're near. It's $40 a month, but you get all your local TV channels, and I mean all of them. And because where I live, you don't get OTA. And that's what I want more than anything.
The fuck is OTA?
Over the air.
What is, I don't know what that is.
Over the air TV, rabbit ears, antennas. The old
signals, you know,
things that we used to use to listen to radio and television.
Yeah, because the only way to get true uncompressed high definition is over the air. DirecTV, Comcast, no matter what you get, it's going to be compressed. Even if you watch Netflix, it's still kind of compressed. But if you want to get true high definition, it's over the air, but it's also free, which you're not paying for anything. If you have a TV antenna, you have access to a ton of channels, especially in Southern California, if you don't mind some in different languages.
I was going to say about 65% of the television in Southern California is a different language. Korean, Japanese,
but yeah, Spanish. I would love to, you know, it's $40 a month. I don't see a reason to subscribe to Red. However, if you guys are listening to this, please type in the Mad Trio show on YouTube and subscribe to our channel. You can see the video version and the audio version.
And you can also give me a lot of money. I'm okay with that.
I highly doubt that's going to happen. Just like I highly doubt they're going to subscribe. But
I want $1 for every person who watches YouTube. Not that subscribes, that watches YouTube. Everybody send me a dollar.
Sorry, it didn't. I don't think it didn't. Well, I think it worked for Soupy Sales. Probably not going to work for you.
Hey, Homer got a dollar.
That's cute. Any other conversation before we wrap it up?
I think we're going to push in the time limit. I, as far as I'm concerned, the internet should not have any censorship ever. That's as far as I'm concerned.
I know, me too. I'm with you. Fucking just let it be the Wild West as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
So a little bit of a
you get on the internet and somebody jumps on and says, fuck you, that's welcome to the internet.
So, for a little bit of a PSA, if you want true, uncensored, unfettered internet, vote yes for anything that's regarding net neutrality. Keep the tubes free. It'll stop Comcast, AT&T, and whatever bastard ISP that are around there from screwing up your internet. If you don't know what net neutrality is, take a look and protect your internet rights. Trust me on this. I'm a geek. So if there's nothing else you want to talk about?
I'm good. I've got dinner plans.
So for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.